A cyber attack is being blamed for disrupting internal computer systems and knocking out a loyalty program at a really popular Wisconsin convenience store chain earlier this month. It's Monday, October 23rd, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Margaret Faust reports on an effort to support people of color in the healthcare system. And Sarah Lear tells us how Madison's budget will be affected by the recent overhaul of state aid to local governments. Stay with us.
You tune in every weekday for your dose of local news on Wisconsin Today. You enjoy headlines with context as well as a longer story. This news is community supported. Join in with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
A cyber attack this month knocked out Quick Trip's loyalty program and disrupted internal computer systems. As Joe Schultz reports, the company says most systems were back online as of late last week.
In a statement, Quick Trip said it doesn't believe customer payment information was compromised. Cyber attacks have been on the rise nationally. Reports to the FBI more than doubled since 2018. Wisconsin companies, school districts, health systems, and local governments have also faced cyber attacks in recent years. Alex Holden is with a Wisconsin cybersecurity firm.
The reason why we see more attacks is that because more and more bad guys monetizing their cyber capabilities, malicious capabilities, and they're causing harm and they're making money.
Experts say it's critical for employers to train their workforce in detecting potential digital threats and to have a response plan in place before an attack. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A county in south central Wisconsin is planning to turn a building that once housed a brewery into an election center. The Dane County Election Center will be housed in the former Ale Asylum Brewery, which closed last year. It'll be used to store election equipment and ballots. County Clerk Scott McDonald says it's a huge improvement over their current facilities, which have experienced both flooding and security threats.
So this building was just not designed for what we really need as far as protecting staff, protecting the equipment, making sure that we're able to have a secure election.
While the full project is expected to take several years to complete, the building could be used for storage as soon as the spring 2024 elections. The county's proposed budget includes $19 million for the project. 17 BIPOC doulas were certified in Milwaukee over the weekend. Margaret Faust reports the group will support people of color in the healthcare system.
The African American Breastfeeding Network trains BIPOC doulas. They will work with pregnant people before, during, and after giving birth. Executive Director Davilry Blackwell said when community doulas live among the same people they serve, it can build trust.
They understand some of the social determinants of health and barriers, and they also can see firsthand how Black and brown people are harmed in our medical system.
Since 2016, the infant mortality rate in Wisconsin has been higher than the national average. Families of color are disproportionately affected. Working with a doula can improve the health outcomes for mom and baby. Margaret Faust, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin is expanding international baccalaureate offerings to high school students. The IB classes are not unlike the more commonly known advanced placement courses, where students take them to get college credit. The difference is coursework tests are the same worldwide for the IB program. Andrea Corona is the principal of McDowell High School in Milwaukee. She says even if an IB student doesn't go to college, the classes offer valuable lessons just the same.
Access to this kind of curriculum is the best preparation for post-secondary work, whether it be a four-year college or university, a technical program.
25 Wisconsin schools offer IB programs. Milwaukee Public Schools recently added three more, bringing the number of IB schools in the district to 11. The attorney who authored a plan to use fake electors in states like Wisconsin in hopes of overturning the 2020 presidential election has pleaded guilty in Georgia. Rich Kramer reports it's unclear whether Kenneth Chesbrough's plea will impact an ongoing lawsuit against fake electors here in Wisconsin.
Chesbrough pleaded guilty to one felony count of conspiracy to file false documents in Georgia's Fulton County Circuit Court. He stood mostly silent as Special Prosecutor Daisha Young outlined how he and others in former President Donald Trump's campaign tried to prevent his loss to President Joe Biden.
The objectives of the criminal conspiracy included the following: to recruit certain individuals to falsely hold themselves out as the duly elected and qualified presidential elector. 2, to create false electoral college documents.
Chesbrough, along with 10 Republicans from Wisconsin who posed as fake electors in Madison, are facing a civil suit filed by Democrats. It seeks up to $2.4 million in damages. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Residents and environmental groups are urging the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources to highlight the benefits of its proposed groundwater standards for PFAS. The agency held a hearing Friday about the economic effects of the proposed regulations. The DNR attempted to pass groundwater standards for PFAS last year, but ultimately failed. Now the agency is once again crafting regulations for the chemical and groundwater. Environmental groups want the agency to more fully quantify the health and environmental benefits of the proposed standards. That includes attorney Rob Lee with Midwest Environmental Advocates.
The ultimate success of it may very well depend on the level of benefits as compared to the costs.
A 2017 law limited the authority of state agencies to pass regulations that exceed $10 million in compliance costs over any two-year period without legislative approval. Industry has previously accused the agency of underestimating the financial burden of PFAS regulations. A recently approved overhaul of state aid is increasing funding to local governments. But a new report finds that for the city of Madison in particular, the impact of that boost will be relatively minor. Sarah Lear has more.
Next year, Madison will get about $3 million more from the state as part of the recently passed local government funding law. But an analysis from the Wisconsin Policy Forum shows that, at $11 per resident, that increase is the smallest per capita of any Wisconsin municipality. Researcher Jason Stein says that's partly because the overhaul, known as Act 12, favored smaller towns and villages. And he says cities like Madison can't quickly make up the difference.
They still can't increase property taxes at will.
State law limits the city's ability to raise property taxes without voter approval, and Madison lacks the authority to impose a sales tax. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And finally, before we get out of here, two quick sports score updates from the weekend. We'll start with the Wisconsin Badgers women's volleyball team. They lost to Nebraska. It was the Badgers' first loss of the season. Nebraska's now 19-0 on the year, while the Badgers are 18-1. And the Green Bay Packers lost to the Denver Broncos 19-17 yesterday. Packers are now 2-4 on the year. They'll play the Minnesota Vikings this upcoming Sunday at noon. And now that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. We all appreciate you waking up with us on this Monday morning. We'll always be here right here in your podcast feed every single weekday morning. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.